at Curtis among the Lord's people. You know, Danny was asking to pray for his brother. Well, here's one that came from the same tracks, walked in the same tracks of his brother and himself also. And this person is the one that is with us today, and we're glad to have him. And I'm sure that after you hear him, you'll be glad you didn't hear me. Because the Lord has really blessed him and has given him a word. I've got to share this with you before I sit down. He'll come. There was a man that whose wife stood before the judge because she had stolen a can of peaches from the supermarket. And the judge asked the wife, say, well, how many peaches were in that can? And she said, there were 8 peaches in the can. He said, well, I'm going to sentence you to 8 days, a day for a peach, teach you not to steal anymore. And then the husband raised his hand, and he thought maybe the husband was going to object. And he said, well, yes, I'll help you. He said, yes, Your Honor. She also took a can of peas also. So my wife will share that with me. I had to let that off my chest. But Brother Dan, this man comes from where your brother is and hopefully will not be for long. Brother Allen, you come right on, brother. Appreciate you. He's been a tremendous blessing to me and to the church, Grace Bible Chapel, at both locations, Warrendale and Grace.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. It's a good thing now that people can talk about me in a good light. I'll get into my testimony during the message, but first of all, I want to sing a song first. That's all right with y'all. Oh, Lord, my God, when I'm in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, with joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have your Bibles turned to Matthew chapter 16. This won't be before you long. It don't take God to speak. It don't take him long to speak. He doesn't. We have a lot of words, but if you notice, when Jesus talked, he used very few words, and the small words were powerful. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It says, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it? For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Since old things are passed away, behold, all things become new." That's a process. We're all in the process. I'm a person that God delivered from the streets. I had over 20-year addiction to crack cocaine. My mother and father, they took us to church, had Bible studies, had devotions. They did this Proverbs 22 and 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he's to go. When he's old, he will not depart." I didn't want that. I didn't want it. I didn't. It's not a slight on my mother and father, but I gave them some sleepless nights, some heartaches, some headaches, because I did not want to deny myself. I didn't. I wanted to indulge myself. I did everything I was big and bad enough. I thought I was big and bad enough to do. Stole. I mean, did everything. Everything. You know, that crack cocaine it has some power, but it doesn't have all power. I'm going to say it again. It has some power, but it does not have all power. I'm a living testimony. During my drug addiction, I was shot six times. Six times with a rifle, close range. I have a bullet, an inch and a quarter inch from my heart. I have one in my hip now. The bullets are crazy. I got shot 27 years ago. I'm having problems now because of my disobedience. Sin has a payday. It has a payday. God saved me, but there's some things still now that I have to deal with because of my sin. I did not want Christianity. With this world right now, we want to indulge ourselves. We don't want to deny ourselves. We want to follow Christ, but we want to do what is required of us. Malachi 6:8 says, God requires us to live justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before our God. That's what he requires of us. But do we really want to follow Christ, or do we just want to do our own thing? See, I was a religious. Matthew 23 talks about when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, don't follow them. He said, believe what they're telling you. They're telling you right, but don't follow them. That's religion. They know what to say. I knew what to say, but I didn't want to do what was required of me to do. God wants our souls. He wants us. We need God. But this is a generation that's now that all kind of things have happened. And right now, I'm a type of person that I don't like to sugarcoat things, because we find the people, they want to sugarcoat things. We're going to hell in a handbasket, and then we're loving it. We don't want to hear the truth. I used to say, make me feel good. No, don't tell me the truth. Tell me a lie and make me feel good. That's what we're doing. We're lying to each other. And my personal testimony is this, that God has been good to me, even in my wretchedness. He's still good to me. I still have to deal with some things now that the sin nature I didn't want to give up. But I thank God he saved me. He's delivered me. He's constantly setting me free. But I want to stay free. See, I went to church. I went to church, in that church, and then when I decided to go out there in the streets, I just did my thing when I wanted to. And I thought I was saved, but I was religious. Very religious. There are a lot of people here that are religious. They're going to church, they're hearing the word, but the word is not changing them. We want to have a relationship with people, the horizontal relationship without the vertical. You've got to have the vertical before the horizontal. That's where the cross is.
We got the Bible says, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but except through me. In order for us to change, we got to get to God. He told him, he said, you want to follow me? Here's the rim. You got to follow me. There are all kind of examples in the Word of God where people, God took ordinary people and did extraordinary things. I have a few thoughts that I want to pass on to you. I gave you one in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There are three Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3. Let's go there for a minute. Let's just go there. I don't want to quote it. Let's just go there. Let's do a bit like this. Let's go there. They were some extraordinary young men. And this is prevalent to our day and time right now. That the music is playing and we want to dance to the beat. These were young men. Some of you know the story, but I'm just going to highlight a few things in Daniel chapter 3. We know that Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden statue, a large statue, and he said that anyone, when the music plays, to bow down to the statue. Bow down. Now, the second commandment says this, thou shalt not have any graven image before me. No graven images. In this Christian walk, you got the many versus the few. And that's what it's all about. Got the many. Some of us like to follow the crowd. I wanted to follow the crowd. I followed the crowd, did what the crowd wanted to do. But guess what? I got nothing for it. I got a big goose egg for it. I got a lot of pain, a lot of injuries, and I mean some physical pains because I didn't want to follow Christ. Following the devil didn't get me anything. Got me locked up, got me beat up. I mean, not only just physically, but spiritually. Because the devil cares nothing about us as individuals. He cares nothing about us. God cares about us, and why do we not want to follow God? Because we're looking for something out of God. I have three things that I like to say, but there are three things that people look at God for. Either they think he's Santa Claus, a genie, or a bellhop. I say Santa Claus because you want to give God a list and tell him what we want. He's the creator of all. He should tell us what he requires of us, and we're supposed to do it, but we're telling him what to do and expect to get it. That's what this religion is teaching us. Two, say either genie, rub the lamp and get out, give me what I want, and then get back in. Put him in a box. Or either we tip him, we give him a little money. We don't give him what he's right, what belongs to him. We give him a portion. All of it belongs to him. Even our souls belongs to him. And I'm the type of person, I'm a no-nonsense person now, because people are dying and going to hell because we're telling them lies. This is not an easy walk. It ain't for the faint-hearted. The Bible tells us Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. We got to fight, too. And a lot of times, we're fighting with ourselves. If you know what Matthew says, deny yourself, that's hard to do, to deny yourself. Because we set ourselves up for the slaughter because we don't want to listen to God. I have a good, healthy appetite for the Word of God now because I have to flush out a lot of things that I got accustomed to in the world. So God is taking me and transitioning me into the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can cut through the bone, the marrow, the joints. And say it's even a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God can judge us through the Word of God if we take a look in the Word of God. James says it clearly. He said, we look into this word. And he said, we turn away from, we forget what kind of people we are. God is always reminding us that we are sinners and we need a Savior. And I thank God he saved my heart out of the butt, but I'm still rebel in my heart still. I forced myself to go to church. I forced myself to read because sometimes I don't want to do those things. There's some times that the world want to call back to me. And I think about this. If I go back, I know what's going to happen to me. Because this thing didn't happen overnight. I went to church year in, year out, and it still didn't do it. I didn't allow God to get in because I wanted to do my own thing. When things changed, I started listening and taking advice. I started going to being around good, godly people, studying the Word of God, and asked God to help me each and every time that thought came to me. Because it was just a thought. And one brother told it to me, real plain, it's just a thought. Why are you acting on it? I go 30 days, 60 days, couldn't go a year. But you know how when I got my year in, God had to lock me up. He used my sin to lock me up and lock me down. That's when I was able to look up. That's when all those things that were coming at me during my childhood, the scriptures, the memory verses, and all that started flooding my soul. I said, God, why? He said, I've been speaking to you a long time ago. Now I got your attention. You can't go anywhere, and ain't nothing coming in there. You can get it, but it's going to cost you to get it in prison. So I just had to be still and let God do something with me. Had some lonely nights, because prison ain't fun. It's not fun. It's not fun. You got to stay out of trouble. And trouble's always coming, but you have to make decisions. And this is what these young boys did in Daniel chapter 3, that they weren't going with the crowd. They wanted to go with God. And see, this was a known sin. A graven image was a known sin. They said, we're going to follow Christ no matter what. And if you really, really look at the text, let's look at some of this text. Let's look at some of it. Start at verse 14. It says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the chime, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that should deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. They say, we don't have a reason to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not, I'm going to say it again, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wanted to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fire furnace. Then these men, which were bound in their coats, their hose, and in their hats, and their outer garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew them, those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They made a decision way before this circumstance happened that we're going to serve God. And serving God don't mean everything is going to go your way. Some religious people talking, rebuking and buying and talking stupid. We're blessed and highly favored. Some of the religious stuff is crazy. They make it seem like they're the only ones blessed and highly favored. That God has favored man by sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. That's how he favored us. And look at what these boys decided. They decided, regardless of what goes on, we're going to follow God. And guess what? He said, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to give y'all an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I heard what happened. And guess what? These men were not ignorant of the king's command. They weren't ignorant of the laws of the king because they were in the king's court. They were his right-hand men, advisors. So they knew the consequences. And it's telling us that we can bring that home today. There are a lot of things that are going on today that are against God's principles. Homosexuality, lesbianism, all that foolishness against God. And some people are wavering with it because it's in your family. I had a bunch of them in my family, but they know what I'm going to tell them. God is God. I don't care what you say. When you look in the mirror, God says you're a male or female. That's what you are. I don't care what your mouth says. God says you're a male or a female. And we are going against the grain of God because we want to be politically correct. In some places, you'd be afraid to say some things. But I tell you this, I made my mind to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when God says something to stand for God. Because God is going to be the one we want to stand and give account of. Because we're getting so conditioned that we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to hurt their feelings. But when you read the Word of God, it hurts every time. It cuts. Just mention it. It cuts like a knife. It's a scalpel. It's God is cutting away the sin, and He's trying to get His Word in us that we can make a difference. We need to make a difference. I tell you this, that the people that I used to get high with, I still deal with them. I still deal with them. I tell them now. Some of them say, you're better than. No, I'm not better than you. I'm better off. Better off, because I know what's going to happen. All it takes is one time. One time. I tripped over back and forth, drinking and smoking and all that other foolishness, and it took one time. And each time I kept digging a hole for myself and wondering why I'm in situations. And I had the Word. I had the Word. That Word, it wasn't about the Word not being active. It's not me applying the Word in my life. And that's what the application. We need to apply this Word. Because there are five telltale signs of a believer. First of all, he's going to love the Word. He's going to love the church, love the brethren, and he's going to have three sins in his life. He's going to witness Christ to others. Those are really five telltale signs of a believer. Some people are talking this talk, but guess what? When they walk away, they're doing the same things. I want to be different. I'm talking about strange, because some people talk about strange. You got some believers, they're strange. I want to be different. God saves us in the state we're in to let people know that He's real. God can deliver. From the uttermost to the guttermost, God can deliver. He can set you free forever. You don't have to go back. I have a saying, you can't turn back, but you can turn around. And that's what I want. God, redirect me. Every day, redirect me. It's lonely sometimes because I'm asking God to send me a mate, because I know God has called me to a high office and I can't be playing no games. Can't be playing games. Somebody going to walk through a door with me. I'm telling them to do a trial and tribulations, because guess what? Everything is coming at you. The devil, we got a target on us. And some of us, if we go to crying, the devil is all after me. He's supposed to be after us. We need to stay focused. My pastor tell me, stay focused, stay focused, stay focused. Because he ain't playing. He playing for keeps. The devil playing for keeps. He cares nothing about. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But what is the B verse in John chapter 10? He said, but I come that you might have life and have it to its full measure. Some of us being shortcut because we don't want to apply ourselves to the Word of God. When I start applying myself, getting around good godly people, praying and asking people, I ask people, I want to live. How do you live this thing? How do you live? Pray and ask God. Get around people who are delivered, who ain't talking crazy. They're going to tell you the truth. Look, you need to sit down and be quiet and be instructed. First, that's what I was doing. I was learning how to be instructed, being quiet, watching people. But look at these young men. They were young men. They 18, 19, 20 years old. But they stood for God. They stood for God. Even in the face of adversity, against the king, we could say the president. Standing against the president and telling him, no, you're wrong. God is still good. And guess what? They were ready to die. They said, our God is well able to deliver us, but if he does not. They didn't understand that we were going to be delivered. They didn't know how they were going to be delivered. They understood that this God was able to deliver us. And they said, God, if he don't deliver us, we're going to deliver us in death or from death. They made the decision to die. And that's what I brought the scripture in Matthew says, that we got to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. Some people think we can have God and pleasure and everything else, that there's nothing going to be withheld from us. That's a lie from the devil. Because some of this foolishness is taking us right on up out of here. And that's all people, they like compromising Christians. Oh, ain't nothing to you. Ain't nothing to you. I used to hear to my family, ain't nothing to you. You need to shut up. You can't go a month. You need to stop talking. You need to come on, hang out with us, have another beer, and shut up. But when they really got in, they're looking now. I let God be God. My sister, I hadn't spoken to her 5 years because she told me after it was all over that she was embarrassed. You say you're a man of God, sound good, but you can't even go a year. You can't go 6 months. Ain't nothing to your Christianity. And then I looked at how God did it. When I went to prison and got out of prison, I started moving straight. Let God have his way. Let God have his way. You got to cut some people loose. Some family members too. Cut them loose. Cut them loose. Them associations that take us away from God. And let God be God. Because the Bible says, straight is the way. And narrow is the way to salvation. Broad is the way to destruction, and many that be that find it. It's the few and the many all the time. It's never, God doesn't need numbers. He don't need us. We need him. People talking about numbers. I've noticed this. The good Bible teaching churches, they're not full. But those apostates and those false places, they're full. Them mega churches and all that foolishness. And guess what? When they're talking stupid. That you show me in the Bible where he promises health, wealth, and prosperity. Show me in the Bible. Show me. Show me that he promised us that. He promised us eternal life. He promised us salvation. He said, if you follow me, you follow me. And he didn't give too many people a chance to follow him. Even John chapter 6, it talks about when they followed him. In John chapter 6, going down to like 63, he said, my words are spirit in their life. The flesh profits nothing. Flesh profits nothing. The 70 left, and the crowd left, and he turned around. The Bible says, he said it literally. He turned to the 12 and said, will you lead me too? Because this is a hard saying. It's a hard saying. Because he's speaking to us as individuals that we need to change. And we can't do it by ourselves. It ain't through osmosis. I couldn't go on because my mother and father were saved. That was a gimme. I'm going to get saved. That's not a gimme. That's not a gimme. And I caused them heartaches for that very reason, not following them. Because they were leading me right. I didn't want it. Didn't want it. Now I thank God that I can fellowship with them now. That the gap is being narrowed closer and closer. Because that thing will take you, sin will take you farther than you want to go, make you pay more than you want to pay, and make you stay longer than you want to stay. Because I thought I had control. I'm going to do just a little bit. And that little bit turned into, that little bitty monster turned into a gorilla. And it took the power of God to shake that thing. It did. Because even now, I say, Lord, I can't go that route. I can't go that route. When he sent me some of these places, I pray. I pray because God sent me back to them people. I had somebody that told me, we got to be careful when we get our information from them. They told me to move from my area. I said, there are drugs everywhere. Everywhere. You can find it anywhere. Mine was crack cocaine. I don't know what yours is. I don't know what God delivered here. But I have no problem telling that God is able. He's well able to deliver us if we want to be delivered. He's powerful than anything else I know. And I know what God has done for me, even my body. He's healing my body. But there's some still ill effects from the body. Like people talking about, you lay hands on your body and say you're healed in Jesus' name. That's a lie. Because I know what? The other day I was walking and I had to go to the doctor. Lord, help. This hip is hurt because I got a bullet in my hip. I said, oh, Jesus, man, I'm ready to go back to work, but I don't know if I can stand. I just say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Because I had the best of people praying over me and all saying that foolishness. And it's still the same thing. You got to reject that. You got to bind that. You got to speak to that. No. We got to be obedient. We got to be obedient. That's all. Let God say, let God be God and we be who we're going to be. That's it. Let's do like these young men do. And I'm going to wrap this up. We're going to do like these young men in the face of adversity. And guess what? The king was so angry that he took them. He didn't allow them to take their hat off or nothing. He just took them with the Bible says the coats, everything, and threw them in the fire. But guess what? The Bible says this: no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon. If we align up with God, let God do the fallout. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, Christians. I know some Christians got shot, killed, didn't do nothing wrong. But we're living in a fallen world. We got to remember that we're living in a fallen world. Things not going to go right. But God is still good, and he's gracious to take us through these things. And look at the very people that try to throw them in. They got executed. See, the devil has tried to set a trap for you. We stand and follow God. They stood for God, and they stood on the word of God. Stand on the word of God. Let God be himself. He don't need no help. He don't need no help. He doesn't. All he wants to be obedient. And he said, the Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on the behalf of those hearts that are perfect or upright towards him. He's looking to step into our lives, our little plenty of lives and stand big. And tell them that God is able to deliver you. I'm a living witness and a living testimony. I should be dead twice over. I got three brothers and four people. Seven of us. Only three of us still living. They didn't do half the things I did. One of my sisters, she died. Well, brain aneurysm. Then 3 years later, another sister died of breast cancer. And then another one died. Oh, Jesus. Brother died of heart failure. Then my sister died of heart failure just January this year. She was 41 years old. And I'm the second oldest. And all of them are younger than me. So we can't be looking at ourselves, I'm special, and something's wrong. It's just God. Grace and mercy. His grace and mercy allowed me to stand here and the witness to tell you how good our God is. Even when I'm not good. I thought I was. I thought I had it going on. But he's the one that has it going on. We need to get on the winning side. Someone said we want to be winners. We want to be conquerors. We'll be standing and eating off the devil's snack tray. Paul said we want to be like them. We want the world to love us. And then we'll kick heaven to the side. No, that's all right. God, I only need you when I want you. That's how I live my life. I did not want Christianity. But I played the game with everybody. Went to church. I talked to church. I went here. But check, I'm waiting. Before the message was over, I want to get me a beer, do whatever I want to do. My mind was out there, but I was in church. And I thank God, I don't have a desire for none of it. None of it. And this is the power of the living God. Because I've decided, God, I'm in it. I want you. I know what the world has for me. Nothing. And they want to see me come back. Kept saying, yeah, you'll be back. Because I was always in and out, in and out, in and out. Pray for him. Pray for me, brother. He won't be delivered. I can deliver him. I know. He can. 27 years. I started smoking crack cocaine in 1987. I left a church service and went on somebody's house and started smoking crack and didn't stop until I went to prison. In and out of treatment centers. They ain't in the treatment centers. It ain't. They have some tools and some spiritual stuff that help you, but it's not your God. Oh God. You can use them as equipment to help you, but it's all the God. When I decided to surrender to God, I'm tired. It's just like, I'm giving you an analogy, I'm going to sit down. Just like, I met my niece. You tell her about the stove was hot. She said, oh yeah, she was running on a little bitty thing, running around there. And that time, she touched that fire. Picked it up and grabbed it, turned the fire on. And her little bitty, she tried to restrain me. She was too little to muscle me, but I pushed her. No. That's what I wanted. When you really get burned by the devil, it burns. Yeah, I don't want it. I don't care. Who's ever doing it? What they doing? I don't want to do it. I don't have to. Because God is good. Even when we're not, he's still good.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this hour, and thank you for our guest today, speaker and testimony here. And we ask for a blessing on anybody in here that's struggling with whatever it is. They turn to Jesus. Turn their eyes upon Jesus. Bless this day now in Jesus' name.